Hello, friends, and welcome to Out of This World Radio with your host, Ted Marr, broadcasting live from the studios of KKNW on 1150 AM here in beautiful Bellevue, Washington, just outside Seattle in the United States. It's a beautiful sunny day here in Seattle, and I'm so glad you're listening. The purpose of this program is to raise consciousness and make this world a much better and happier place, and I know that with everyone's help, we can and will make this earth a much better place. I want to thank everyone so much for making Out of This World Radio one of the most popular talk shows in the Seattle area. And we now have over 250,000 listeners in over 80 countries. Our worldwide coverage is now larger than Coast to Coast Radio. And I just want to thank everyone so much for making Out of This World Radio, helping Out of This World Radio raise consciousness and make this world a better place. During the first hour from 2 p.m. to 3 p.m. Seattle time today, I'll be interviewing Dr. Andrew Holster from New Zealand on a revolution on the new revolutionary water discoveries, which many believe this is the start of a truly new chapter in the history of science. These discoveries are probably just as important as the discovery of DNA in the double helix by the famous English scientist Watson and Crick in 1953. Dr. Holster is on the line now. Please stay tuned for his interview, which will be coming up in a few minutes. During the first part of the second hour from 3 to 3:30 p.m., I'll be bringing on some amazing psychics and healers who will be part of my upcoming Galactic Wisdom Fair, spiritual fair, in Olympia, Washington, tomorrow on September 29th, and again on November 10th and March 9th, 2019. All the fairs are free, and I and others will be giving free presentations on psychic phenomena and the other side. I myself will be giving a presentation and an update on my book, Messages from the Masters, in which you'll be giving new updated messages from President John F. Kennedy, Nostradamus, Professor Albert Einstein, as well as Mahatma Gandhi and the Galactic Alliance and others on our beautiful, bright future. Then from 3:30 to 4 p.m., I'll be bringing in Michiko Hayashi. She's the former administrative aide to Dr. Masaru Emoto, one of the world's most famous and spiritual people, before he passed away in 2014. Michiko will be giving a presentation on her amazing Hado and vibrational water treatments in Olympia, Washington, at my Galactic Wisdom Healing Fair on November 10th. The fair is free, and if you'd like also an amazing Hado vibrational water treatment, please send me an email, and I can schedule you in. My email is outofthisworld1150@gmail.com, or you can call me at area code 509-750-9793 in the United States, or toll-free in the United States and Canada at 1-888-879-8339. I'd like to thank everyone's support for this radio program, because Out of This World Radio is a nonprofit program supported entirely by donations. And for those who'd like to donate, please go to the donate button at the top right-hand corner of the program webpage at www.outofthisworld1150.com. I really appreciate your help and support, because I know together we can create a much better and happier world. I'd also really like to thank Corey and Saul and Kirkland for their generous support, as well as my wonderful new friends, Bozina and her husband in beautiful Vancouver, Canada, and of course my wonderful friends in Costa Rica, Mary and Elias, and Bradley and Gemma in London, England, and everyone around the world who've helped me raise consciousness to make this planet a much better and happier place. I'd also like to thank the many sponsors of this show, and we're looking for additional sponsors and advertisers. Any advertising on the program will have a worldwide coverage in over 80 countries and over 250,000 listeners. With that, I'd like to thank my dear friend Carol, who's been designing my website, providing wonderful support, my friends in the Galactic Alliance who've been supporting my show, my angelic and earthly family, and of course, KKNW, without whose help and support this program would not be possible. I have a spiritual mentoring program where I teach people how to contact their angels and spirit guides. If you'd like to get in touch with your loved ones who've passed on, or contact your angelic guides and get some good spiritual advice, please send me an email to outofthisworld1150@gmail.com. My next Galactic Wisdom Conference, my fifth conference, will be held in Olympia, Washington, at the same location from April 12th to the 16th, 2019. The website is www.galacticwisdomconference.com. We'll have some amazing people, including Aaron Elizabeth of Health Nut News, will be flying up from Florida to give a presentation, as well as Simon Parks. Simon's one of my favorite people, and I always enjoy what he has to say. If you register for the conference before December 31st, 2018, the cost is just $55. And if you're interested, please send me an email to outofthisworld1150@gmail.com. I'll be having, again, as I said, some wonderful spiritual fairs coming up. And all the events are free. The first one is tomorrow on September 29th from 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. And the address is 9101 Stillicum Road Southeast. That's off of exit 111, off of the freeway in Olympia. And 111 is actually an angelic number. So please come if you like. It's a free fair. In addition, in May 2019, I'll be giving a presentation at Watkins Books in London, England, as well as a presentation at Banyan Books in beautiful Vancouver, Canada, sometime in June or July 2019. I'll let you know the exact dates as the plans are formulated. I want to give you some updates and good news about the water filters for the Hopi Indians. The Hopi Indians for many years have been drinking carcinogenic, arsenic-filled water. The U.S. government has failed to help them, so Leon McLaughlin of the Clean Water Foundation, Martha Childress of the Natural Choice Network, Michiko Hayashi of the Emotive Peace Project, and myself all stepped in, and many others, and Jean, as well as Jean Zander, to buy and have these organized and fundraise for these water units delivered to the Hopi so they can finally drink clean, fresh water. The units are being have been delivered, and they're finally now drinking clean water. And I want to thank everyone so much for helping out on this effort. I'd like to welcome now Dr. Andrew Holster, an independent researcher and writer from New Zealand. Andrew, how are you today?
Oh, great. Thank you, Ted. Yes.
Oh, my goodness.
Lovely spring morning here.
Oh, good. Good. It's flip-flopped. It's fall here, but we're having a lovely fall day here. So wonderful. Wonderful. Well, what started me off on this was an email that you'd sent to Professor Jerry Pollack, of course, at the University of Washington. And if you don't mind, I'd like to read a few sentences from it. You wrote, "Hi, Jerry, how are things? I've been looking at the details of the IC project. It's incredible. I must admit, if I had seen this a few years ago, before I had seen the easy water theory, I might have thought it was a hoax. I'm sure a lot of scientists will have this reaction. But I've been checking out the presentations and research papers, and I'm convinced by it. I'm stunned, like being hit over the head with a rock. Stunned. The implications are fantastic. Could you go a little bit about that for my listening audience? I'm sure they'll be fascinated about what you have to say next.
Yes, well, the IC Medicines Project is one major part of this new water science that's developing. And so there are a number of strands, semi-independent strands to this. So there's Jerry Pollack's water structure thesis, the idea that water can contain information and memories, and also the interaction between water and consciousness. Right now,
mm-hmm. Right
now, my first entry into this was about 4 years ago when I started looking at electromagnetic treatments of water. So that was stunning enough for me to start with, and then Jerry Pollack's theories, and then it was only not even 2 years ago that I became aware of the IC Medicines group and their technology. And really, when I can talk a little bit about what they do, but it was stunning, even though I'd become sort of aware that there were these strange things happening in water science. This really... shocked me. And I think this is what this is the reaction scientists will have. You know, I was wandering around for a couple of weeks trying to reorganize my my worldview in a way.
Uh-huh. Mm. Sure. Well, incredible. Now, one of the things, other researchers have found that water has memory. That was, of course, Professor Jock Benavista originally discovered that water has memory back in the 1980s and 90s. And then his work was confirmed by the work of the famous Dr. Masaru Emoto in Japan in the 1990s, and of course the last couple several decades before he passed away in 2014. And then others discovered that information can be transferred by water. Professor Germanoff, of the head of the Water Conference, has found that along with other scientists. And the implications are staggering. Could you tell us how that could be worked, let's say, for medical in medicine?
Yes, well, the basic concept is that when water is exposed to substances, which could be drugs, like, for example, aspirin or any kind of complex molecules, the water can retain a memory of the chemical shape. And what you can do is expose water to a substance by putting a small amount into it, and then go through a process of making a homeopathic dilution. So you repeatedly dilute the water and you end up with water that's got no chemical substance. But they find that they can still detect the more or less the shape or the electromagnetic signature of the substance it was exposed to.
Mm-hmm.
And the signature can have many of the effects of the original drug. So people have worked out a way to transfer this information into water, and then you simply drink glasses of water and you get some therapeutic effects of substances without side effects of chemicals. And the transfer happens, the transfer is a purely electromagnetic signal. So mm-hmm. The method they've got now is, originally they were doing this using sort of copper analog electrodes and things to transfer
mm-hmm.
information kind of directly, indirectly, but now they print a copy of the information on a CD, and you simply put your glass of water on top of the CD and the water absorbs this information.
Oh my goodness. So let's say, for example, you had a life-saving drug to cure AIDS, as an example. And
yes.
In theory, could you take the information from that drug, put it on a CD, then send it to email addresses in Africa where they could replicate this drug to help people with AIDS, as an example?
I think that's exactly the idea, yes. I'm not quite sure if, I think they have at least 60 drugs that they've tested, and the list is growing.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm not sure exactly about AIDS, but yes, absolutely, that's the idea.
As one example, another example, what would happen to the drug companies, which makes trillions of dollars off the pharmaceutical industry, when you don't need to manufacture it anymore, and all you need to do is to send the information by electronic means, by the internet, to places where they need it in the world for virtually nothing?
Well, yes, that's a good question, because this can be disruptive technology, of course, and it cuts across certain boundaries of medical practice and, who prescribes drugs, what kind of dosages are effective and so forth. So, I think there are questions about how it's going to work, definitely. But I guess the pharmaceuticals could find it to be a threat, or they could get on board and support it.
Yeah, well, I hope they do the latter. Of course, Professor Jacques Benveniste discovered that water had memory in the 1980s and 90s. And then he went to the hospital, from what I'm told, for a routine medical check, and he suddenly died a day later. I don't know much about what happened to him, but he did find that water had memory. And then he was criticized by a lot of people for his discovery. But since that time, it looks like he was right. What do you think, Andrew?
Yes, I think he came out with his first publications on this in about 88, and it was a bit of a shock.
Right.
The science world, but he was an eminent, prominent researcher mm-hmm. in France, and so it was taken seriously. Yes, and however, a number of different labs tried to reproduce it, and some researchers managed to reproduce his results, but a number didn't. So there was a bit of an inquisition into mm-hmm. what he was doing, because, mm-hmm. Sir John Madox, who was the editor of Nature magazine, Nature journal,
right.
Science journal, he sort of initiated an inquisition into Benveniste's experiments.
Mm-hmm.
So then Benveniste Sinviste became sort of ostracized.
Mm-hmm.
But in the 90s, he continued working on this and enhanced some of the technology to do these, to transfer information. And I think he died in the early 2000s. I'm not sure at all of what the circumstances of his death were, but
right. But
by this stage, other people had taken it up, including Montagnier, who's
right. A
Nobel Prize winner, won the Nobel Prize for identifying the AIDS virus.
And
so they went through a new process of enhancing technology, and then there's a number of people involved in this. And then the IC Medicines, led by Germanov and Serenev and a team from Russia and Bulgaria, have taken it up and developed another new layer of technology that's more sophisticated again. Yes. So by now there are a lot of experiments that have been done, and they look at, you know, it's difficult to trust any single experiment, but because experiments have been done by multiple people, and some people don't find results, and that's what you expect as well. But because results are repeated in the same essential way, to me, it's become very convincing that the effect is real.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. I found the paper that Professor Germanov and Professor Shurinov of Russia wrote, and others too, and that it's entitled "The Perspectives of Practical Application of Electronic Transmission of Medical Drugs: The Role of Water." And it's I've got the synopsis in front of me here. If I read the whole thing, my audience will probably fall asleep. But just basically, it's very, very important what they say. They talk about how water can be used, has memory, and also can be used as a transmitter for information. I wanted to share with you, Andrew, I had a gentleman on my radio show back, let me see here, it was back in 2016 and 2017. And his name was Matthias Di Stefano. He's a man from Argentina. He's an interesting fellow, Andrew, and sometime if you like, I can put you in touch with him. He has he has detailed, vivid memories of living in Atlantis 15,000 years ago. And don't ask me how or why, but he's got very, very detailed memories. And one of the things he talked about on my radio show twice in 2016 and in 2017, was about how the Atlanteans did not use hardwired computers. They used organic computers with what Professor Jerry Pollock talks about, easy water, to store information in an organic way. I'll have him, I plan to have him back on again, but if you'd like to listen to that, you just go to my website at outofthisworld1150.com, go to the top tab and look at past guests, and you look at November 18, 2017, and also September 9, 2016. And he said that the reason why we haven't found written records of the Atlantean civilization, because the information regarding their civilization was stored in these water computers, which when Atlantis went down 12,500 years ago, of course, got submerged by the Atlantic Ocean. But all that information is still in the Atlantic Ocean, but it's like a scattering of books everywhere. And it's in the water molecules of the ocean itself. And I'm throwing this out there so water researchers around the world listening today can pick that up perhaps as a research idea in the future, where you would take water. And he said that there is a way to break the code to get into that information. He said also in the Mediterranean, when there was this great Library of Alexandria, which went down, I think, around the 11th or 12th, 13th century in a terrific earthquake. When all those books went into the water off Alexandria in Egypt, that information went into the water, and that also can be retrieved too if you have the right technology. And so what you're doing by talking about this IC medical project, it's going to leave the door open for lots of other different applications, including water-based organic computers.
Oh, yes, it will absolutely open the door to multiple applications and concepts. You know, it really turns over all our present conventional concepts of water and how water could possibly work. So it's certainly revolutionary. As far as using water as for computers goes, I mean, this is a good question, but it makes you think, well, if water can pick up information from substances that it's been exposed to, then how much information does it have? Does it keep accumulating information, or does information get dispersed, and does water get reloaded with new information? You know, would make someone feel uneasy about having a water computer is that you would wonder how robust your storage is, wouldn't you?
Right.
So how that works, I don't know. I couldn't really say, but there are going to be some weird and wonderful ideas and discoveries that come out of this, I'm quite sure.
I look at the world a little differently, Andrew. I'm a psychic. I've been in touch with the other side for about 25 years now. And one of the spirits I've been in touch with the last 3 or 4 years has been my good friend, Professor Albert Einstein.
And
he was the one who told me last year, and well, he just came in. He says hello to you. He says you're doing wonderful work. He told me last year that if you add an extra molecule to, like, typically water is H2O, but if you add an H2O2 or H2O3, you add an extra molecule to that, you can use that extra molecule like an easy water to use it for storage. And he says that during your lifetime, my lifetime, scientists here on planet Earth will be able to do that, much like they did in Atlantis so many years ago. Of course, that technology was lost when the Atlanteans destroyed themselves in a nuclear and crystal war 12,500 years ago. But it is theoretically possible to do that. I'm also in touch with the people of the Hollow Earth, the Lemurians underneath Mount Shasta, and they don't use water computers so much as they use organic computers based upon amino acids. They said that amino acids actually have a better storage capability than water does, for them anyway. But it opens up a lot of interesting doors, doesn't it? And it kind of gets you thinking out of the box.
Yes, the point about adding an extra atom to the water molecule is gives you H3O2. So this is the formula for Gary Pollack's EZ water structure, right?
Okay, yeah.
Mm-hmm. So that's a real thing. Mm-hmm. But to me, yes, storing information, using water as a computer, I think it's still a step ahead of where we are at the moment. But to me, the essentially important thing is that because we are made of water, our brains are swimming in water, our consciousness is hosted in a water environment,
right,
that this transfer of information, chemical information or it could be other types of memory through water, is very real for us right now, as living beings. And I think, to me, that's the first critical thing to focus on, that scientists can focus on. And it's a very real scientific phenomenon. The further concepts that you're talking about here, I don't know about.
Sure.
To me,
sure.
They're kind of further out there, you know. But the core position that the water science people have achieved at the moment is very real, without having to go, and it's dramatically revolutionary without having to go any further.
In terms of
getting, because they still have a lot of trouble getting credibility from the establishment scientists, right? Mm-hmm. And one of the questions for me is, how long is this going to go on for? When is conventional science going to turn back and look at this closely?
Well, that's one of the issues that Jerry Pollack was on my radio show a few months ago, and he said that there really hadn't been any real, true paradigm breakthroughs in the way science looks at the world since maybe Watson and Crick in 1953 when they discovered DNA in the double helix. Everybody is so worried. Many scientists are so worried about keeping their funding that it's safer for them to stick within a prescribed narrow path than try to break out of the box and do something different. That's why I think Professor Jerry Pollack's Institute for Venture Science is so important, because he raises monies to fund innovative new science projects which aren't being done anywhere else in the world.
Yes, exactly. Jerry has got a very intense awareness of this, and he understands that science proceeds, the most important science proceeds by revolutions or paradigm changes, you know, where fundamental concepts get turned over and we discover the world is really quite different to what we thought it was, what we pictured it as. And now I think he's quite right. The last 50 years we've seen nothing. It's hard to think of any real scientific paradigm change as like we had in the past. But it's not because the changes aren't there to come. Right. It's because the way science is organized has blocked out research. And to me, I think to most people, it comes down to this contest between the materialist view of science, which comes from the 19th century,
right,
which has kind of locked scientists up into an ideological paradigm that the four forces and material particle interactions are the only reality to our world, whereas in fact what we know is that the special thing about the planet Earth is that it's got life and it's got consciousness and it's got good and evil, and so we have these higher order realities in our world that that simply aren't explained. To me, they're not explained by materialist science. But
I think materialist science actually is an acronym. It's a throwback to a time. I mean, it served us well back in the 19th century. That was 2 centuries ago, 200 years ago, almost 200 years ago now. And it's time to move on. And I think one of the things happening is that the vibrations of this planet, Andrew, are getting higher and higher. And it's called the Schumann resonance. A lot of Russian scientists do study it, and some of the best data you can find on it is actually from Russian scientists on the web. If you just search for Schumann resonance, and you can see what it's at now. For tens of thousands of years, the frequency of planet Earth was 7.8 hertz, and then suddenly in September of 2016, it doubled to 13.8 hertz. Now it's Now it's somewhere above 200 hertz. It's gone so high that the scientists had to make a new logarithmic scale for it. And my spirit friends on the other side say it's going to go to 800 hertz by the end of 2020. And what's happening is that the planet itself is shifting from this third dimension into the fourth dimension, and then finally we'll go into the fifth dimension. Now you may ask, well, what's that like? Well, that's when things will be a much higher vibration than they are now. And a lot of these, I think a lot of this discovery with the IC information copy medical research that Professor Germanoff's done and you've mentioned, of course, in your work, will become even far more important and more real than it is even now. And old scientists stuck in the materialistic view of the world will be left behind. They'll be a little bit like horse and buggies. They won't know what to do because they'll lose touch with what the new information coming in.
Yes. Yeah, I think, you know, it's, well, the materialist paradigm actually was out of date by the 1930s, really.
Sure.
But the the kind of ideology of establishment science is very strong. So we have this, well, kind of conservative and reactionary kind of ideology that persists today just like it did back in the 30s. And really, I think that the materialist scientists and philosophers have missed the boat. It's really going to be a matter of time.
Yeah.
But how long it still takes, I don't know. Yeah.
Sure.
But it's a human resonance. That's interesting. I mean, I do know about it, but I haven't actually heard about these changes in the frequency. I'll go and check that out.
Yeah. And if you like, I'll be happy to send you a copy of my new book called Messages from the Masters, where I have messages from Professor Albert Einstein, Nostradamus, President John F. Kennedy on our beautiful, bright future and the kinds of scientific research and discoveries that will be happening here in the not-too-distant future. I'll be happy. I'll get your address later off air. But one thing I wanted to tell you about, too, in my book, I talk about a gentleman named Valiant Thor. He was human, but he was a benevolent extraterrestrial, very advanced, who met with President Eisenhower in 1957, and he offered President Eisenhower back then, who was president of the United States, technology so that we could get rid of, and spiritual advancement, so we could get rid of all disease and have free energy on this planet. And from what I know of their meeting, Eisenhower was in favor of it. He liked Valiant Mr. Thor, but unfortunately, Vice President Nixon had many friends in the pharmaceutical companies as well as many doctor friends, and he was afraid that they'd all end up losing their jobs, end up washing dishes somewhere if we got rid of all disease. And he talked about a little bit about the kinds of things that you talk about on the IC Medical Project, and Professor Germanoff talks about too. There's a Hollywood film director named Craig Capobasso. He was on my show back, I think, in 2016 and 2017. He talked about that as well, and he's the film director, a great man. So it's not like we haven't had opportunities for getting rid of all diseases on this planet and also having free energy. It's just that perhaps the time wasn't right. I don't know. I think the time is getting right now, though.
Yeah, I guess I couldn't really comment on that much, but...
That's okay. That's all right.
I have heard about the concept that Eisenhower met with an alien, but I guess the way I think of it is that it's actually if there are aliens giving us messages or trying to help us, well, that's great, and I think that's entirely possible, but it's really our responsibility.
Sure.
And why don't they come in and just show us and make us do things right? Well, I think it's because we have to do it ourselves. We have to find the way ourselves.
That's true.
Part of our evolution, that's what I think.
Yeah, and I think a part of it, too, is that there really is, like on Star Trek, Andrew, a policy of non-interference. And that's been especially true for planet Earth for many, many years. One thing I want to talk about briefly is the Water Conference coming up next month in Bulgaria. The website is www.water, then C as in Charlie, ONF.org. It's a wonderful conference. I'll be going there next month as well. And this IC Medical Transfer Project will be discussed there as well. They'll have a lot of really famous scientists. You went there last year, didn't you? What was it like, Andrew, when you went?
Yes, I went there last year, my first visit. It was great. Wonderful conference. Mm-hmm. Wonderful people. Very friendly.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, some great presenters. Some leading experimental scientists. Scientists from a number of different fields, really, all coming together. A lot of health and well-being people. People developing technology. So the overall impression is that actually it's a very strong, coherent community, even though people are doing all sorts of different things.
Mm-hmm.
But there's a very strong sense of solidarity and lovely bunch of people. Yes, you can wander around and talk about whatever you like. You talked about these these topics at a conventional physics conference or chemistry conference, people wouldn't talk to you again, probably.
Right, and you lose your funding and your job and your academic tenure and. Yeah, right. Well, that's the problem. That's why science is so stymied, especially in the United States. Much of it, except for for Professor Pollack's work and a few others, there's not a lot going on in the United States. People get tired of the same old, same old. Your email I received yesterday from you, Andrew, I wanted to ask you about this. You said that you did your own little experiment in 2012 to 2015. You revived about...
14, 15, yeah,
Okay, 14. Okay, there's a typo. 2014 to 2015. Reviving about 4,000 dandelions in structured water test the effects of EM water treatment of water transport properties in a plant. And you found a large effect. Could you explain what happened there briefly? I know my audience would love to hear what you did.
Yes, well, this is a paper I gave when I went to the conference last year.
Okay.
But this was my first introduction to the new water science. So I was on a bit of a road trip in 2014, traveling around in the South Island, and met an interesting guy called Bob Greer and Michael Richards, who had started a company providing what's called electromagnetic water treatment. And this is, I'm sure, probably a lot of your listeners will have heard of different variations of this, but you apply a radio frequency signal into a body of water at a certain amplitude modulations, and it changes the water, changes the water structure, and this treated water becomes, the claims were that it enhances plant growth and plant health and also animal health, and has wonderful outcomes for living systems. So I sat down and I hadn't heard of this before, or I'd heard it only very vaguely. So I sat down and thought, this looks pretty real. I'd been introduced to a number of people who were using this technology, and they were adamant, and they showed me a number of studies that people had done showing that it can increase, say, tomato crop yields by 40%, and it applies to lots of different crops. So I went to Google and checked out Google, and lo and behold, on Google, everything pretty much that comes up says this is all quackery and nonsense and crazy people. So Google is just covered with skeptics and debunkers, and they explain absolutely nothing.
Right.
And so I also then went, got as much material as I could find from the POSIT people who were using this technology to try to find out how they explain it. And there's a big gap in here. It wasn't until I came across, Bob Greer gave me a copy of Jerry Pollack's book that things started to make sense. But anyway, the problem was very hard to, there's nothing objective to hold on to try to decide for yourself whether it works or how well it works. So I decided to do my own little experiment. So this involved essentially taking one bucket of water that was treated with this electromagnetic treatment, which is very simple, by the way. You just buzz it for 20 seconds with a radio signal, and then another bucket with untreated water, and I would wilt dandelions so they, the head bow down, and then revive them and time how long they take to revive. And there was a huge effect. The treated water, roughly, increased the revival speed by about 30%.
Wow! Amazing. That's amazing.
it was very, very clear effects. And so I did a lot of variations on this, trying different waters and so forth. Yes, 30%, that's huge.
So,
and what it means is that the revival involves water transport through the stem of the plant.
Mm-hmm.
And so it means that the electromagnetically treated water, or charged water, people call it charged water, mm-hmm. or we think it's a type of structured water.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, this increases osmosis or capillarity mm-hmm. in the plant, or the absorbability into cells, you see.
So let's take this one step further, Andrew, if I may.
Sure.
Let's say you're a farmer in the Midwest and you're growing corn or wheat, and you've got these awful seeds from Monsanto, and they say, oh, here, please use our GMO corn and hybridized wheat, and then you can spray it with lots of chemicals, and this is what you should do. But if you're a farmer in the Midwest, let's say, and you want to go organic, could you theoretically use organic seeds and this technique with this electromagnetic electric buzz and send that to the crop and then increase its productivity by 30-40%? Would that be possible?
I think so, certainly. I don't know about wheat specifically. I don't know experiments on wheat, but it appears to have these effects on practically every crop that's been tested that I've seen. I actually tell a lie. There was an experiment on wheat in the South Island back in about 2007 or 8 in New Zealand. And it did, and actually they did find it with wheat. So yes, I would certainly expect it could have a very beneficial effect on wheat. Yeah.
Well, that's amazing. So theoretically, if you use this technology, farmers growing wheat or corn or other crops might not even need Monsanto with their expensive carcinogenic herbicides for crops. You could just use electromagnetic radiation or this current to naturally increase the yield of crops 30-40%. In theory, it would work.
Yes, I think it would improve yields and improve plant health. And probably it wouldn't matter whether you were using Monsanto seeds or organic seeds.
Mm-hmm.
It would improve things generally, I think. I mean, the results from this, not only for horticulture and crops and grass, but also for animal health, chickens, pigs, and human health as well. But the results are really remarkable. They're striking. It mystifies me why this technology hasn't taken off and been publicly recognized, really.
Well, I think part of the problem are search engines like Google, which are mm-hmm. controlled by some negative elements who don't want this information out, who don't want us to have the ability to raise agricultural crops and perhaps use structured water to improve the living conditions of humanity here on the planet. If I may, I'd like to take this one step further, too. Of course, Dr. Masaru Emoto was very famous. He used what he called hollow vibrational machines to adjust the vibration of people, which he said really helped people with any kind of spiritual or physical condition. And it's the same idea. It's the same idea you did with your dandelions in your efforts and these other experiments as well. We're all talking about the same phenomenon happening. And, of course, these Hado machines now are used by the Emoto office to help treat people with any physical or spiritual condition, and they're very effective. It opens up a whole new world. Will you be coming to the Water Conference this month?
Well, unfortunately, I can't make it this year.
Okay.
I'd love to be there.
Okay. Well, you'll be there in spirit. So.
Yes, I'll try to follow it online as much as I can.
Oh, good. For those
it
of
was
you.
Fantastic last year. There was great papers.
Yes. Oh, wonderful.
You'll have a wonderful time.
Wonderful. Well, the conference starts on October 18th through October 21st. I'll be there as a member of the press committee. The website for the conference is www.waterconf.org. And it's a wonderful opportunity to meet some of the world's best scientists and most innovative scientists who are truly sincere about finding solutions and making life better for humanity here on the planet. And I can't urge you strongly enough to go if you all have time. It's coming up in about 3 weeks, almost 3 weeks now it starts. Dr. Holster, we've got about 10 minutes left of our time here, and I wanted to give you the rest of the time now to feel free to talk about anything you like. I know my listeners around the world will find what you have to say very interesting.
Oh, okay. Well, I wasn't expecting that. Yes, I guess one thing that's interesting to me is you see some of this new water science is comprehensible in conventional terms because it's about chemistry and known forces and known interactions, right?
Mm-hmm.
So particularly, say, a lot of Jerry Pollock's theory is a good example. He doesn't appeal to anything outside standard physics. Mm-hmm. And this is part of the beauty of his work. It shows that you have these very unexpected and strange phenomena coming out just from normal physics.
Right.
However, the question that the larger question that a lot of people at the Water Conference are thinking about and talking about is does it point to new physics, new types of physics? So you have this work on quantum coherence domains and superfine emissions from plants and animals and very subtle effects, and going on to the effect that Dr. Emoto helped discover of intention on water. So
right.
This is like the combination of water and consciousness. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
So I think, in a way, this is probably the kind of exciting metaphysical area that that's being opened up here. Mm-hmm. And it comes back to, what do we really think our world is fundamentally made out of physically?
Right.
We have these theories of particle physics, quantum mechanics, gravitational theory, but personally, my view is that the whole foundation of physics is going to go through a revolution like the water revolution.
Sure.
And actually, we've got entirely the wrong image of what the physical world is.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I think.
Mm-hmm.
And to me, the main, just to push my little barrow for a moment.
Sure.
Yeah. The biggest question is, what is the dimensionality of space? Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That we normally think it's three-dimensional.
Right.
There's a bunch of string theorists who try to tell us that it's 10 or 11-dimensional. But to me, the string theory is not very convincing at all. It's a sort of artificial formalism. But I think that space really is multidimensional. And my kind of working theory is that it's six-dimensional, and it's a curled-up six-dimensional kind of shape.
Mm-hmm.
And once you go into this kind of theory, now this kind of theory can reproduce all the results of quantum mechanics and gravitational theory,
mm-hmm.
particle physics, but it means the world is put together in a completely different way. And when spiritualists and people people who are into consciousness and psychic phenomena, as well as you know the traditional religious experiences, everybody always appeals to other dimensions. You have an experience and you go into another dimension,
right?
And I think actually that the dimensions that spiritualists are talking about are part of the dimensions of real space, and we can find them in physics, and eventually this will all be turned over and we'll find that the spiritual and psychic beliefs actually connect very closely with what the real physics is, and they're both part of the same thing.
Sure.
And it means that the universe is really filled with a lot more information and structure and order and purpose than the materialist view can recognize.
Sure.
Yeah, that's my broader view.
Well, the title of my show, of course, is called Out of This World Radio, so I like to think out of the box, and I think many of my listeners do too. From my own perspective, as a psychic who's been in touch with the other side for nearly 25 years, I've been told there's 12 different dimensions, of which at the 12th dimension is the supreme being, the God, if you will, the entity who created all of this. And I'm told actually God is a she who created all of this universe. We exist presently in the third dimension, but my spirit friends have told me over and over again that it is the destiny of this planet to ascend and go into the higher dimensions. And I feel sorry for many Earth scientists who are stuck in the third dimension. They don't see beyond the third dimension. But it's coming, and it's coming because the vibrations of this planet are rapidly rising. And according to a lot of my spirit contacts, they said that by the year 2025, which is only 7 years away, we will have shifted into the fifth dimension. But anyway, we've got about a minute and a half, and I want to give you the rest of the time to wrap up your wonderful interview today, and also to urge people to please check out the website for the Water Conference. Again, it's www.waterconf.org. It's a wonderful opportunity to meet some of the world's best scientists who are really thinking out of the box to help humanity on this planet.
Yes, well, I think you've said it as well as I possibly could there, Ted. So I'll leave them with the message you've given them there, because I'll just be repeating it.
All right, Andrew. Well, thank you so much for coming on today. During my next hour, if you like, Andrew, you can listen to my interview with Michiko Hayashi. She was the former administrative assistant to Dr. Masaru Emoto for over 10 years, and she'll be talking about how you can use vibration or Hado treatments to help people with any spiritual or physical condition. It's the same thing that you talk about, actually, the vibrations and
I think the world is made of vibrations, you see.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
That's what I believe, that the it's not made out of material at all. It's actually all made out of vibrations.
Right,
certainly.
Right, right.
But, yeah.
Absolutely.
So, yes, I'd love to listen to her. Yes, I just had a nice email from...
Okay.
Nothing from here. So,
good.
Yes. And so, thank you very much for having me. Nice to talk to you.
It's been great having you on. To listen online, you go to www.1150kknw.com and just click listen live, or you can see me on YouTube as well.
Okay, I look forward to it.
And you can see that I did shave today. So, anyway, I did shave today.
Congratulations.
great. All right, Andrew, we have a wonderful day, and I hope to see you at one of these conferences soon.
Okay, right. Thanks,
right. Thank you. Thank you so much. This is, of course, the Beautiful Water Song in memory of Dr. Masaru Emoto, and we'll be back in just a few minutes, friends. Please stay tuned.